The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, H-Town, stand up. This is Soccer Matters from Soccer City, USA, where nightly fields across the state of Texas are spilling over with players of all ages, and the passion for this game reigns. And I would say that right here in Houston, Texas, because in 2026, we will host 7 World Cup matches. I'm Glenn Davis, bringing you everything in the world of soccer here tonight. The field, the pitch, it's our canvas. We're going to paint it tonight. We're going to paint it with passion. And we're going to talk some international soccer, Dynamo. We're going to talk Champions League. We're going to talk the Clásico Regio on Soccer Matters. Let's hear from the greats in the game and more here tonight. 423 days away from the World Cup opener in Azteca Stadium in Mexico. 423 days away. The U.S. and Canada also hosting. We have 7 matches in Houston, as mentioned. This is pretty amazing. And an example of why this is a great soccer city, I'm over at Little Patagonia Empanadas. Brian, you're going to appreciate this story. I'm getting a little spike with an espresso. I come out the door. There's a guy with a PSG jersey on, Paris Saint-Germain. They advanced today after getting a little scare from Aston Villa in the Champions League. And I said to the guy, I said, hey, a little nervy today, huh? And he goes, yeah. I said, you know what? I like this team better than any PSG version with Mbappe, Neymar, yada, yada, yada. He was all over it. We agreed. We talked a little bit. I looked at my watch. I said, I better hurry up. And when I left, I yelled, I said, hey, I'm not surprised that they win the Champions League. It was all smiles, PSG jersey. I mean, this city has more supporters of soccer teams spread throughout. And it's just, we don't even know the depth of it. It's pretty amazing. Brian, thank you for helping get everything together and all the good sound here tonight, doing your great,
no problem.
Your great producing as always. By the way, I got a good tip-off from Jeremy and Joel of the Killer Bees that these mics are hot here tonight, so I will be on my best behavior.
Yeah. No F-bombs during the breaks.
All right. Big shout-out to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. I got a lot of Dynamo stuff to talk about here tonight. Big George Foreman, the celebration of his life. Watched some of that. What a huge figure. What a positive man. And you know what? We should all be so lucky to leave life affecting as many people as Big George did. I had a chance to meet him once at the Houston Sports Awards. So tonight we have on the show former U.S. international Marcelo Balboa. We're going to talk with Marcelo about playing in a World Cup. We're going to talk about Major League Soccer. He calls a lot of games. Him and I did 6 years of national broadcasts on HDNet. So we're going to bounce around a couple of things and some of the big topics in MLS as well. He played well after getting thrust into the starting role. Creighton Blue Jay. His name is Blake Gillingham. Blake is going to join us tonight here, Houston Dynamo goalkeeper. And talk about a guy living up to opportunity. Can you imagine? You're on the team. Nobody really knows who you are. And then all of a sudden you get an injury, a season ending to Andrew Torbell. And then out goes Jimmy Maurer. And now you're the starting goalkeeper. You play well. And now there's another goalkeeper that's been brought in, Jonathan Bond from Watford. This is professional sports in a nutshell, and it's what have you done for me lately, quite frankly. Some of our great sponsors, Nico Nikos, Greek and American Cafe, Cactus Music. By the way, 50th year for Cactus Music, and we got some great music tonight. Lamont Brands, Senate Avenue Brewing, where we do our live shows. Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, and then Inland Beach Soccer. And don't forget, the Inland Beach Soccer Tournament is coming up May 10th. We've got more on that here tonight, but it's Inland Sand Soccer. And if you're a youth player, adults,
You want to put a team together. You want to get out there. You want to have a lot of fun. And I think it's a great sort of accessory to your normal training where you've got a coach shouting at you. Put some of these youth teams together. Get out there. Play on the sand. It's fun. It's different. You got to flick the ball up to yourself and volley. There's a lot of different things you can do with bicycle kicks and some acrobatics because you have the comfort of the sand, and they are playing with goalkeepers. So it's 4 versus 4 with goalkeepers. Local perspective, the Dynamo 1-1 draw in L.A. We'll talk about that tonight, and we'll take your phone calls on it, 713-780-3776. Where are you, Dynamo fan? Where do you feel right now? That one's one I want to break down a little bit because that was a very winnable game, no matter what your roster is right now. I know I got a lot on social media or a handful of people. Oh, it's a great point on the road, and you know I'd rather lose games on the road and win a few more and take 3 points. Frankly, and I know the 1-1 draw on the road is the standard for getting something out of the game. I get that. But this is an L.A. team that's reeling. They haven't won a game in Major League Soccer. And I know they're the defending MLS Cup champions, but you're not dealing with Dejan Jovic. You're not dealing with Ricky Pooch. Yes, you're dealing with probably the best winger set in the league in Joseph Paintsill and then Gabriel Peck. I don't know where they found these guys, but L.A. did a good job with those two wingers. But anyway, we'll talk about that tonight. I got some updates on Andre Lignar, who is the Dynamo DP, and Pablo Ortiz on their availability. So, look, I want to start tonight by just readdressing the current state of the U.S. men's national team. And we're all kind of down. We want to be up. We want to be riding the wave going towards a positive 2026 World Cup. And they took a lot of healthy criticism, and it was all fair criticism after a poor showing in the Nations League under the new manager, Mauricio Pochettino. So it has led to a lot of angst, nervousness, anxiousness. The criticism was warranted. The effort was not good enough, and the current national team must always show fight and determination every time that they play. That's the standard that was set before them from guys like the guy who's coming on the show tonight, Marcelo Balboa, who have worn the jersey. And this is duly noted. And the criticism came from a lot of areas, and even some players whose commitment during their national team career was questioned, quite frankly. I mean, Landon Donovan, people questioned him, his commitment, maybe why he didn't stay in Europe. He got the nickname Landy Cakes from a lot of you out there, but he fought through the criticism. That said, I'm not concerned about these players. And I'm not worried that they don't have the intestinal fortitude and the backbone of competition and desire. The question is, why does it not manifest itself more when they come into play for the national team? And that has to do also with Mauricio Pochettino. And especially right before a World Cup, where some are even trying to cement a place on the team to be a part of the world's greatest sporting event. But don't tell me that Christian Pulisic at Milan, Weston McKennie at Juventus, and I'm using these as examples, Tyler Adams at Bournemouth, to name a few, aren't competitors. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that they're soft. They're not soft. Did you watch the last World Cup? Were they soft in the last World Cup? The drama and effort that they made to advance in that World Cup, playing full minutes, the guys I'm talking about were on the field the whole time. Got them into the next round. Do you think they just stepped into legendary clubs like Milan, Juventus, in the case of Pulisic, Dortmund, Chelsea, Premier League, Serie A? Are you kidding? You know how judged those guys were? It's just another American, and Americans can't play. They got a lot of that stuff too, trust me. They get that stick as American players. You bet they did. So don't tell me that these guys don't have backbone. They got to make it manifest with the national team. The climb for the American player has never been easy. It's not easy, but they're on historic soccer clubs. So they went through a lot of stuff that we don't see. So it's really easy to say, oh, our youth soccer system's messed up. Yes, it is. But those guys rose through it. So let's keep this in context. They didn't have it in the Nations League, but they better reclaim it real fast. And they better reclaim the passion for the shirt the next time they put it on and every time thereafter. Because we on the outside are counting on you. We got to make a run in this World Cup. We're hosting it. So we're hosting 7 matches at Energy Stadium in 2026. This World Cup, there's 48 teams. We all complained about the amount of teams in this World Cup. It's a huge jump in the mind of the purist. I'm the purist. I don't care about expansion. I don't want it to be participatory. I don't want everybody to get a medal. I do understand that it's nice that others get to be a part of it. But what I think I'm seeing with 48 teams here is content, participation, and dollars. But we are also systematically watching, and I hope I'm really wrong here. I think we're watching the demystifying of the uniqueness and the specialness of the World Cup. You are now making the most unique sporting event more participatory. You are taking away meritocracy and competition. It is fading slowly. And now, I hope you're sitting down, because what I'm about to tell you might shock you. FIFA is exploring, in 2030, a World Cup that may include 64 teams. So you see the beauty of the World Cup because it's every 4 years. There's a qualification. Somebody's going to do something in a World Cup. The qualification is long. It's arduous to get to achievement, to win a World Cup. You realize how few athletes in the world have won the World Cup, if you really think about it? It's a number I'd love to find out. By the way, all you crack data guys, let's get on that. Data guys are happy when you win. Data guys don't talk when you're losing. They're all quiet, which is pretty funny. But the qualification process, the arduous nature of it, how long it is. But when you win a World Cup, it's indelibly, you are history. Etched in the mind of world football and your country, these moments become a benchmark for people. Like you remember your first rock concert or your first girlfriend or boyfriend. You remember where you were when your country won the World Cup. And I bet you there's some people out there that can tell me that right now. 713-780-3776. Argentines remember exactly where they were when Leo Messi in Argentina got by France to win the last World Cup. Every 4 years means a singular play, a singular moment can become historic, iconic, whatever you want to say, a benchmark. Pelé de Carlos Alberto for the goal in the 4-1 win over Italy in the 70 World Cup. Maradona and the hand of God against England. Who forgets that? Manuel Negrete's volley in Azteca Stadium for Mexico fans in front of 100,000. I mean, we can go on and on. Der Bomber of West Germany, Gerd Müller, to win the World Cup over the Netherlands in 1974. I watched this on a screen at Madison Square Garden. It wasn't even on TV in the U.S. then. Oh, my heart goes out to all my Dutch friends. The greatest country to never have won a World Cup. Jan-Luc, you know what I'm talking about. Spain, Portugal, and Morocco are going to host the 2030 World Cup. It'll be the 100th anniversary of the World Cup, which was first held in Uruguay. Argentina, Uruguay, and Paraguay are going to host a singular match in 2030. But 64 teams. Oh, boy. Yes, FIFA is reviewing a formal proposal. Now, the good news is this. It was submitted by CONMEBOL President Alejandro Dominguez. Way to go, Alejandro. That's a great idea. During sort of their Congress and their meeting. The expansion aims to commemorate the tournament's 100th anniversary. Why do you have to expand to celebrate 100th anniversary? It will be on 3 continents, South America, Europe, and Africa. And there will be 6 host nations. there was pushback. And we're going to give credit to the CONCACAF president, Victor Montagliani, because he pushed back on this. He does not like the further expansion of the tournament and turning this into a much larger ecosystem. UEFA president Alexander Seferin labeled the idea a bad idea, citing potential organizational challenges. It's going to be discussed further, but in this day and age of taking sport and the word expansion and franchises, and it's all for one reason. We all know what the one reason is. All right. Do not forget, we have the Gold Cup final coming to Houston, and you can learn about it. You can get in line in the queue for the tickets, LSSE.net, LSSE.net. Shell Energy is going to have June 19th, Haiti, Trinidad, Tobago, June 21st, Canada, Curacao. By the way, the head coach of Curacao is the legendary Dick Advocaat. Dick Advocaat is a legendary coach. He actually played in the North American Soccer League here in the United States. The game to see down there, though, from a passion and a World Cup feel standpoint, is going to be Honduras and El Salvador on the 21st. Yeah, Guatemala, Guadalupe, Canada, and El Salvador will also play. All right. Brian, can we go to the Gary Neville? And I've pulled a couple of sound bites that kind of connected with me. Here's Gary Neville, the former Manchester United great. Now, Gary's not afraid to talk. He speaks out. Here's his micromanagement piece, and he calls this an illness to the game. In other words, the amount of data and coaching.
I sort of know what he's saying by the fact that obviously when they play against City, they're probably worried before they go into a game against Lyon in midweek that they're going to get a bit of a doing. But I don't think there was one player walked off that pitch at the end that was disappointed about drawing the game nil.
From either side?
From either side. I think they're all sort of walked off thinking, oh, we're okay here, and got away without making a mistake. I think that was the sort of type of game. It was really disappointing. And I apologise for my cold commentary, actually. I think I let it get to me. I was boring on there as well. That was drab as well. Honestly, just the whole game. There's part of me, I get what he's saying about it being that point in the season, about City United in a difficult moment. But this robotic nature of not leaving our positions, of basically being micromanaged within an inch of our lives, of not having any freedom to take a risk to go and try and win a football match, is becoming a... It's becoming an illness in the game. It's becoming a disease in the game. And I think, ultimately, think about Pep Guardiola and his teams over the last 10 years. That's what his teams do. But we're seeing poor imitations of that across the board now. You know, United's goalkeeper rolling his foot on the ball and waiting for things to happen. That's not it. That's not what this club is. That's not what we do here. You know, Liverpool don't do that. You've got to be a top team with tempo in your play, rhythm in your play, get the ball moving, shift it quickly. And also, I think from a United perspective, I get why he's gone deep. I get why he's gone back into a sort of, like he called it, a low block. But that's what we've seen from Jose Mourinho. It's what we've seen from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It's what we've seen from Erik ten Hag. They've all come in with the intention of playing high press, high energy football, but all end up going back to a low block in big games. And I do understand why Ruben Amorim's done that today with the players he's got, because he hasn't got the players to adapt. They need five new players, Manchester United, straight away before you even think about the rest of it. The three up front are not good enough. The two behind and the one and the two wing backs, they're not good enough. So they need five players. They need to serve him with five players who are good enough in this system to be able to play his system the way he wants. But the game today really was quite depressing for me, because I think we're seeing a lot of these types of games. And the Premier League is about excitement. It's about thrill. It's about risk. And there was nothing like that in that game.
Now, he was talking about the City game. Now, in defense of everything that's going on, and there's a lot in there, and there's a lot of positions you could take here. But he's not wrong when he says it has gotten a little bit robotic. Now, somebody could say to me, hey, but Glenn, there's a lot of goals scored in the Premier League. You're not wrong. But you can notice this is carried over to other leagues in the world. You can notice this in Major League Soccer as well. Take the Chicago game this past weekend. There's 62,000 people there. It's their biggest crowd ever. Lionel Messi's there, right? 62,000. And their goalkeeper is standing on the ball. And the crowd is booing him. It's the largest crowd ever at Soldier Field. It's a slow, boring first half. Their goalkeeper's putting their foot on the ball, and he's being booed. Now, If I'm the owner of that team, and I'm in a league where 18 out of 30 make the playoffs, I'm going to my coach, and the owner's name is Joe Mansueto. They've also got a sporting director, Greg Broughton. Now, I'm going down to Greg Berhalter, and I'm saying, guess what, Greg? You're pulling off your tactics tonight. You're going to open up because this is about entertaining and winning over unique fans that are in the building here tonight. This is a huge opportunity for us. Let's take advantage of it. I understand the coach just wants to win. That's great. And doesn't want to move off the growth and development of his teams. But come on, 18 teams make the playoffs. You're off to a good start. This was a night to try and grow the interest in your franchise. A night you must entertain before anything. Yes, entertain, open up, attack, have goals scored. And I know this is a big picture, macro look, but you can do that in MLS based on the way this is going. But much like Gary Neville said, this putting a foot on the ball, and it is robotic. He's not wrong. And it is boring, and we have to take a look at this. You got to be very careful because people want to be entertained. People want to see goals. What better night to do it with Lionel Messi there? And Messi was tired. Inter Miami was tired. And Messi still hit the crossbar twice. All right. I think it's time to take our break there. I'm going to get off my soapbox here. I do want to tell you a little bit about a couple of really big events coming up. May 10th, Third Coast Sand Complex, 5652 Forney in Houston. This is a beach sand soccer tournament. 4 versus 4 with goalkeepers. You can have rosters up to 8 substitutions. You can strategically be the coach. I think it's a great thing for youth players to not be there and being coached. It's open to youth and adult. You can register your team at InlandSoccer.com. You use the promo code SoccerMatters. You get 25 off the registration. Great opportunity to show off your skills in a different environment, maybe away from coaches. Now, I would say adults, get, you know, 6, 7, 8 of your players and go down there and just have a fun time. Because on the sand, you can do different things. You can attempt different things. You can be creative. You can flick the ball up to yourself. So you go there for competition. You go there for fun. If you're adults, well, you know what you're doing. Put a couple of beverages in playing. Again, it's May 10th, Third Coast Sand Soccer Complex, 5652 Forney, 4 versus 4 beach soccer tournament, 3+ a keeper. And all you got to do is get the details over at InlandSandSoccer.com, InlandSandSoccer.com. Now, this tune right here, this is Thomas Rhett. It's called Something About a Woman. It's a very popular song. And by the way, Cactus is going to like that I played this. They'll be like, ah, Glenn's on top of it music-wise. Guess what? 50-year anniversary for Cactus Music. Let's take a break. Let's come back. We got more to talk about, including Champions League, Tigris. And let's start getting some phone calls in here at 713-780-3776. In fact, right now, a pair of tickets to caller number 4 at 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.
To Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Man, you came back in perfect with that, Brian. Oh, now this is Black Sabbath, Tomorrow's Dream. And again, Cactus would love all my selections because I mix it up. Well, I lean a little towards classic rock, I have to be. I almost had a wild hair and almost drove up to see AC/DC in Arlington last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
noon, I was about 70-30 going at noon, and then all of a sudden something occurred that stunted me from going.
Gotcha. But you do mix it up. You play country, you played electronic.
Oh, absolutely.
You played Run DMC. You've definitely run the gamut.
I love it all. I'm probably, you know, I wouldn't mind if listeners told me some of their current songs that they would like. All right, 713-780-3776. Let me give you a quick word here for an incredible small batch brewery and kitchen. It's open 7 days of the week for lunch and dinner. It's great craft beer. It's for sale only in the Jersey Village tap room, and we are talking about Senate Avenue Brewery. They have daily specials from the kitchen, steak and steins on Thursday. You bring a stein in, $20, you get a steak and a side, plus you bring your own stein up to a liter. They fill it up for the price of a pint, fish and chips on Friday. But this is where we're doing every month, every second Tuesday, and I'd love to see people out there. We had Griffin Dorsey out there last Tuesday. Every second Tuesday of the month, we will have a live show out there, and we, you know, we'll have players from the Dynamo, the Dash. We had some discussion with G. Guerrero of Texas A&M and Brian Lee of Rice University around the portal and how that's affecting the way they coach. This is Senate Avenue Brewery. It's just right up 290 or right down 290. It's great, great food too. American Grill and Pub Cuisine, burgers, wings, pizzas. Tuesdays when I'm there, they have these bulgogi bowls, which are really, really healthy, I think because they have a biking group there. Award-winning beer, 2 U.S. Open Beer Championship medals, 3 Texas Craft Brewers Cup medals. That have all been won by Senate Avenue Brewery. The tap room and patio, 7 big-screen TVs. They show the Dynamo games there, show a lot of soccer matches all the time. They had the Champions League on today. The patio's dog-friendly. Easy directions, 290 to the Senate Avenue exit. And really excited to be doing those live shows. They're fun. I like getting up and close and personal for, you know, a lot of reasons. But the connection with the soccer fan becomes great. And, you know, sometimes you're... I mean, it's hard to believe, but there's even people who remember watching me play, which that's scary in itself. All right. I do also want to remind you, too, one more time about another great pub. That is Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Get out there. They've got great whiskey and beer offerings there. Great, great pub. It's the home of the Liverpool Supporters Group. It is Hugh O'Connor's Pub. And we did a live show at the Dinkins location. So there you go. You can follow us and me, YouTube Soccer Matters, X and Instagram, at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD, Facebook Soccer Matters, and Glenn Davis. This is all shameless promotion, glenndavissoccer.com. Like, follow, comment, do all of that stuff. We have been on the radio in Houston for 22 years, believe it or not. Talking soccer, your game. All right. So there you go. All right. So. Let us get into another soundbite here, and this is another reason that we love the game of soccer. Here's Gary Neville on the lack of dribblers.
You now have players who think, right, okay, it's a one-on-one game. It's a game whereby I've got to try and unlock the door by showing some individual brilliance. But they haven't even got the guts to do that anymore because they're frightened to death of giving the ball away. So they recycle it back through the fullback or the midfield player. And we're seeing far too much of it.
So that's a pretty simple one. But there is no better weapon to break down a well-put-together tactical team and an opponent's tactics than the individual soccer player. All you have to do is beat one person off the dribble in a dangerous area of the field, and everybody has to adjust to it. It's a really simple theory. Now, you've heard me on this show say the Dynamo need more dribblers. I believe that. To add to the things that they have and want in place, which is a tight-knit passing game, staying tight together so that when the ball's lost, you can press. But the team is... It's not as good a possession team as it once was without Hector. They're trying to get back there without Hector Herrera and without Coco Carrasquilla. Plus, I think with Blake Gillingham now, they are playing a little bit more direct. So that means there's a little bit more fight and scrumming for second balls. And so that may affect a little bit your desire to control the game through ball possession and and be methodical. So just a thought, but that is one of the reasons I love coming to games. I love seeing people pick a ball up and go one-on-one. And that means as a team, you have to recognize these moments and get it to those players when they are isolated and when they are one-on-one. I saw a great battle in the last game between Escobar and Martinez in the home game of LAFC. And Martinez finally, you know, got isolated with Escobar, got past him. There was no second defender, got in on goal, and Blake Gillingham made a great save with his right leg. So these are things that people certainly like to go to games for. All right. So it's called the Clásico Regio. And as everybody knows here in Houston, Texas, we have a ton of fans that support Tigres of Monterrey, that support Rayados of Monterrey. They drive across the border to go back and watch their games. By the way, the Dynamo will play Tigres in the League's Cup. That is a game you don't want to miss. There is going to be an edge there, and Tigres is going to, and they're probably already, well, they're not thinking about it now because they're worried about the playoffs in Liga MX. But I will tell you, when they come to Houston to play the Dynamo in League's Cup, they're going to want to dominate that stadium. They want to own it. They want to make it their own, and the hype when they come in is going to be real, and it's going to be big. And they played this weekend their derby match, which is, in this part of the world, one of the great derbies. It's the Monterrey Derby. They call it the Clásico Regio, if I'm saying it right. There's probably somebody out there who speaks Spanish laughing their ass off right now. Whoops, that's a bad word. Excuse me. Laughing their you-know-what off. All right, so Sergio Ramos went to the penalty spot. Naúl Guzmán in goal for Tigres. Here's what it sounded like.
Silbatazo. Viene Ramos. ¡Ramos! 1-0 arriba, Rayados. Fuerte raso y muy bien colocado. Tercero de la temporada del Español. Pero más importante, Rayados está ganando en el Volcán.
So, it's 1-0 Monterrey. This game is at El Volcán. It's the home of Tigres. And this is an amazing game from the standpoint of just the pure passion. And I watched it on replay. And to watch it on replay, I mean, I felt it sitting on a couch. Okay? So it's late. It's 1-0 Rayados. They think they're coming in to El Volcán, the legendary stadium. They think they're going to steal it. And what happens? But Sebastian Cordova, who many will remember who played here against Inter Miami at Energy Stadium, the match put on there by LSSE.net. Sebastian Cordova with the equalizer.
Como mínimo, disparo, disparo, disparo.
Unbelievable. So the inevitable would happen in stoppage time. Check this out. It's a tremendous piece of delivery from Gorrión to Nicolás Ibáñez. Climbs up over everybody, towers over everybody, pounds in the header, and Tigres wins it in stoppage time. Here's what it sounded like.
Sí, Joaquín se va a meter, abre bien para Gorrión, que llega y saca el centro. Buen centro, buen centro. ¡Cabezazo, gol! ¡Cabezazo, gol!
Yeah, you notice the commentator? He points out the delivery from Gorrión, which, I mean, you watch this type of delivery and it gives somebody a chance. I mean, you just look at this delivery and you're just like, you want to jump off your couch and try to head it in. This is Gary Newman. So I'm going to recap Tigres a little later, but we're coming up next with Houston Dynamo goalkeeper Blake Gillingham. He's coming next. This is a song called We Take Mystery to Bed by Gary Newman. Does a lot of industrial now, but back then he had I liked his stuff back then. He had that famous song in the 80s called Cars. This was a very, very cool album. good, very, very good song, in my opinion. All right, as we go to break, LamontBrands.com for the T-shirts and hats. I just posted a picture of the Soccer Matters hat. You can order them at LamontBrands.com. You can also pick up the T-shirts there. I'm going to tell you right now, for the Colorado game on Saturday night, I'm going to be doing the Apple broadcast. I will bring a couple of these hats, and I'm going to flip them out of my TV booth to somebody who wants them. A couple of T-shirts, too. Have a little bit of fun. Got to make it fun, right? We still have Dynamo Talk tonight. We still have recap of the Tigres-Rayados game. We also still have tonight Champions League talk. I mean, there's a lot to get to. I'm going to try to get all of this in. And we also got a great interview with Marcelo Balboa coming up. We're going to switch gears. Houston Dynamo goalkeeper Blake Gillingham coming up next.
You're my assassin, but you can't see the crime.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Inside the area, Kenneth Ramirez, and he's denied by the young goalkeeper who was decisive, it has to be said, coming off his line and Gillingham.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. This is EMF, unbelievable. And if you remember the comedian, Brian, who's in this song? I might have to reveal it later.
Yeah, not coming to mind. I don't know this one.
Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think he's been canceled, but yeah.
Yeah, probably. All right, a couple of quick things here. Advantage BMW in Midtown. Get down there. Tell them Soccer Matters sent you if you want to get in to a BMW. I've been going there for years. They took care of me with another X5. Absolutely love driving this car. Advantage BMW in Midtown. Also, again, I will remind you about the Inland Sand Soccer Tournament, May 10th, Third Coast Sand Complex, 5652 Forney. Register at inlandsandsoccer.com. Promo code Soccer Matters. And then, of course, a big shout out to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm is DaspitLaw.com. Okay, Houston Dynamo taking on the Colorado Rapids this weekend. One of the big stories this year has been the play of goalkeeper Blake Gillingham. And Blake joins us now. Blake, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is a bit of a whirlwind for you, right? All of a sudden, you're the starting goalkeeper. Two goalkeepers go down, Andrew Tarbell, Jimmy Maurer, and you've been up to the moment. Just take me into that and kind of mentally what was going on with you, and then you get thrust into places like Portland and Seattle. This was not the, you were thrown in the deep end, I think.
100%. I was thrown right into the fire, and again, it's not the most ideal way. You know, after Tarbell and Maurer going down, because those guys have been nothing but good to me. They've both been my mentors, goalkeeping-wise, and, taking care of my mental health-wise. But goalkeeping's all about the opportunity. And, you know, when the opportunity arrives, you just got to be ready to take it. And I feel like I was ready to take it. And in the training, especially with the coach of Tim Hanley and Ben Olsen, those guys are always making sure every single guy on the team is prepared to play because you never know what happens in a game and the next man up. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity and that I was able to take it, as well as the coaches and the players trusting me to do my job. So it was a very interesting atmosphere out in Seattle and Portland, but it was super fun to get thrown into the fire, and I wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah, do you have to take the position in a way where, you know, yes, it's stressful. Yes, you're the last man. Yes, you can win a game. You can also lose a game. But it is a rare, unique position, and it is fun, right?
100%. Yeah, I wouldn't want to play any other position. I mean, I love it, and I'm really enjoying being able to get some minutes and help the team get hard-earned results. So it's been amazing so far.
Blake Gillingham joining us. Houston Dynamo goalkeeper has been outstanding. Every game he's come up with the timely save. You did it at home in the last game against LAFC on Martinez when he got in behind the Dynamo defense. You know, were you tipped off about him and his ability to beat people off the dribble and that potentially he could be a guy that might turn the corner and get in on goal?
100%. Yeah, him and also Dennis Bawanga, those guys are well known in the league for, you know, winning their 1v1 duels. And I knew that in the game that I'd have to make a few saves just because, like, the guys on LAFC, those are some world-class players, top-quality players. And we have some top-quality players on our team, but those two guys on LAFC are well known for taking guys on 1v1 and creating good opportunities. So I was very well informed and well prepared for the moment.
What was it like playing in front of the big crowds in Portland and Seattle for you?
It was very interesting. Hearing my name get called with some expletives behind it. But it was a really fun atmosphere. Honestly, when I got out there, I didn't really hear anything. I was just very focused and in the moment and in the zone. So I was very focused on the task at hand and helping my team, get points on the road, which is a very tough task to do, especially last weekend in L.A. But any type of points that we can get and any type of result really helps out the squad. So I'm just glad that I was able to help out my team.
Blake Gillingham, Houston Dynamo goalkeeper, joining us. All right, you played college soccer at Creighton, the Blue Jays, one of the best college soccer stadiums in the country. Your coach is Johnny Torres, who comes from the Houston area. He won the Herman Award as the top college soccer player in the country. I'm letting my listeners know this. And then went on to have a Major League Soccer career. He's now the head coach at Creighton. He was your head coach. I would assume you might have talked to him or he saw you play in these games?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Him and I are very close, as well as the goalkeeper coach, Michael Gabb, who's been amazing. That entire coaching staff, you know, they welcomed me in with open arms, and they taught me everything that I needed to know to be prepared for the next level. And I can't thank those guys enough, and I can't thank Creighton enough for giving me an opportunity as well as a really good education.
Yeah.
But Johnny Torres is a legend, and I love that guy. He's amazing.
Houston legend as well when it comes to our great Houston soccer community. All right, so the college game in Creighton, you're playing at a high level, NCAA Division I. Obviously, the next step is Major League Soccer. The players are better overall. That's just the bottom line. What else jumps out to you as different? Could it be something like the way a ball is struck? What are some of the differences now, all of a sudden, when you're in goal in a Major League Soccer game comparatively to a college game?
Yeah, the first thing, especially my first couple weeks of training, was getting used to the speed, not only of the players, but of the possession of the ball and also the striking of the ball 100%, because these guys can knuckle, they can curve, and they can hit it really hard, and they can hit it while on full sprint on the run. So it's about making sure that I'm in the right spots and getting set and ready for any kind of action. And again, like, they're world-class players coming at me at full speed on a sprint and on a dribble. So just making sure that I'm in the right spots is super important, as well as the margin for errors are very small when you get to this level. Like, you miss one pass, it can cause a goal. So that's the one thing, is some of the little mistakes that you can make in college aren't acceptable at the pro level. So it's just really getting down to the tiniest little details. And again, a couple inches, especially for goalkeepers, can make all of the difference. So I'm learning a lot, and every single game and every single practice that I've been able to give myself 100% is a chance for a learning experience. So it's been a big step up from college soccer, but I feel like I've been ready to take it, and I'm learning every single thing that I possibly can and taking it all in.
So I'm listening to you. I'm listening to a very mature young man, and you're taking it all in. You're learning. How important is it to have that type of open-minded attitude when it comes to getting to this next level? Because I would imagine you're so zoned in every training session. You're working with a great goalkeeper coach who's got a big, big reputation in Tim Hanley. Just take me into sort of the mental side. And, you know, you get out of your car at the parking lot and in you walk and, you know, it's kind of game on here when it comes to making yourself into a better goalkeeper.
Yeah, 100%. The mental side is very important, especially with the acceptance of making mistakes in training and getting scored on, because it doesn't matter who you are. You could be the best goalkeeper in the world. You know, you're going to get scored on in training. You're going to get scored on in games. So it's really playing with the line of acceptance as well as pushing yourself and being able to fail and accepting failure and then learning from those mistakes. So that's been a big one, is every single little detail I've been able to pick up in the professional level has really come from Tim Hanley and Andrew Tarbell and Jimmy Maurer teaching me the insights of the professional game, not only mentally, but also the goalkeeping side. So it's been a fantastic experience these past couple months, and I'm really looking to grow and keep improving every single day and giving 100% to the Houston Dynamo.
And you're also given 100% to wanting to be the starter, right? I mean, that's why you're a professional athlete. Now, all of a sudden, Jonathan Bond, another great goalkeeper, comes into the mix. So the competition is intense.
100%. Yeah, Jonathan's a great guy, and I'm really looking forward to training with him and competing with him every day. And I think that training and that competition is going to push both of us to improve and get even better and come on game day, be the sharpest goalkeepers that we can be possible. So I'm really looking forward to the competition. I love it and accept it. And it's going to make me improve as well, so I can't complain.
Blake Gillingham, Houston Dynamo goalkeeper, joining us. Dynamo had a real problem in the goalkeeping position. Andrew Tarbell sadly went down with an ACL injury, out for the year. Jimmy Maurer then got injured. And Blake Gillingham really identified himself to the Dynamo fan base really, really quickly. As much as I am impressed by, you know, your maturity and the way you're answering these questions here, because not all younger players necessarily are this good in the interview format, I would also say I sense you have a deep confidence in yourself.
100%. Yeah, you can't have this position, and you can't do well in this position or play this position without having, you know, the utmost confidence in yourself. Like, every time I step on the field, I want to be the best player that I can be and perform the best that I possibly can, but also knowing that I've got a lot of room for improvement.
Blake, you know, who do you model yourself after? Who are some of the goalkeepers that you like watching and why?
Growing up, I would always watch Manuel Neuer, Tim Howard, and Ter Stegen, because those have been some of the top guys at the game. And I've always been watching goalkeepers and learning from them and watching film, and those guys have really given me the sense that I could do it, you know, especially Manuel Neuer breaking his leg coming back from injury, Tim Howard having, you know, Tourette's syndrome and being able to still perform, and even guys with deficiencies are still able to really do their best because they put the work in. And I know that if I put the work in, that I can be successful, and that's what I'm going to keep doing and keep improving and giving 100% every day when nobody's watching.
Yeah, that's the way it works. People forget what goes on when nobody's watching. So when I look at your position and growing, and I mean, this is excitement. When you realize you have possibility, you have a higher bar you can reach as a goalkeeper, I mean, this makes it exciting to go to training every day, I would imagine.
As 100%, especially since, you know, I'm kind of a baby goalkeeper. I'm only 22 years old, and some of these guys have put in very long careers and have had a lot of opportunities. So I'm looking forward for the future, but I'm also focused on the now and helping my team get results and get points and getting wins. So that's what's really important, is improving and getting results with the guys on my team.
So what happens during the week? You know, obviously, Colorado's got a couple of strikers. Yappe and Navarro that are going to be people that you're going to key on. They've got a playmaker in Mihailovic. We're going to talk a little bit about this with Marcelo Balboa coming up, the former U.S. men's national team player. But, you know, how much work do you guys do on studying the tendencies of the danger men for the Colorado Rapids for this Saturday's match?
Yeah, we do a decent amount of work on the competition, but it's also focusing a lot on ourselves and what we can control. And if we can control what we should, you know, it's going to be a good game for us. And even when things don't go well, I know that we have a really good team that we can get behind the ball and trust in each other to make plays. But, no, looking forward to this weekend. I'm very much looking forward to it because the assistant coach, Ian Sarakin, was also my coach at Creighton University. So it's going to be a very fun little rivalry and able to see him as well. So I'm very much looking forward to the weekend, and I'm hoping that we can get 3 points as a team.
Fantastic to speak to you, Blake. Thank you very much for coming on the program tonight. Continued success to you. You got the tools. You got the mentality. It's been really, really interesting and exciting to watch you jump in, grab this opportunity, and take it. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. That's Blake Gillingham. There he goes. Man, what a story, really. I hear the excitement in his voice, and it reminds me of when I was a rookie. And I was fortunately next to a veteran that helped me. So we're smart guys, right, Brian? So since the Colorado Rapids are in town, we play the song Rocky Mountain Way. No, Rocky Mountain Way.
Rocky Mountain Way, yes.
That would be
yes.
John Denver. You got to watch me with music, except I know you know your 90s and on, I know.
Yeah, I've heard the song. I don't know why I messed up the name, but yeah, I've heard the song.
I could see how you would say that. It's Joe Walsh. He was in the Eagles.
The Eagles, right?
Yeah, he was in the Eagles also, but this was him solo. It's just a great riff, right? Brought to you by Cactus.
Yeah, I like this better than some of his other stuff, but yeah, this riff is pretty good.
Yep. All right, when we come back, we're going to dive into the Dynamo now at L.A. I would like to see some phone calls. 713-780-3776. Everybody talks on the on social media a lot. So call in. Be brave. Come on. We got to be brave. I need some dribblers out there who aren't afraid to come in and jump on the show. 713-780-3776. I know you're out there. 713-780-3776. When we come back, we break down the Dynamo. Is this a good road point? I saw a lot of people really happy with this. Is our bar too low? Dynamo fans, you're going to have to tell me. All right. Before we go to break here, quick word. For Danish Inspirations, modern contemporary furniture, danishinspirations.com for the best in modern contemporary furniture. We got some thoughts on Brian White as well. Next segment, Houston Dynamo, Colorado. We'll start talking about this game. We'll review the Dynamo LA Galaxy. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713, call now.
ESPN 97.5.